From a man who's American, yes, but on the high-functioning American spectrum, this is the Daniel Natale Show. All tyrants have made the pitch that dictatorship is a more efficient form of government. In The Birth of Politics, Melissa Lane describes a Roman political leader at a time when the Roman Republic was morphing into the Roman Empire, and writes, "Another participant looks back to the greater effectiveness of rhetoric under the Republic, which although torn by disagreement and civil strife, was genuinely governed by the convictions imparted to the people by its orators. He plays with the idea that in genuinely well-governed states, there is no need for orators. Orators reigned in Athens and Rhodes, not in Sparta or Crete. If a single wise monarch makes all the decisions, oratory would indeed be useless." Note the term, well-governed state. This is the same pitch technocrats make in saying that they just want more efficient government, by which they mean the removal of purposeful inefficiencies and tensions we built into our government as a form of checks and balances. So republics are purposely inefficient, so that a tyrant can't seize all the levers of power. Dictatorships, by contrast, always remove redundancies upon the claim that what they want is efficiency. You saw the 20th century dictatorships making this claim, saying that they would run society along scientific lines. Outside of political systems, the same is true in economic systems. In a thriving economic system, you have tons of companies in competition. You have redundancies galore. With 100 different companies competing to sell you, say, a computer, they have to offer lower prices and higher quality to get you to buy their system rather than that of a competitor. This is great for the consumer. It's not so great for the oligarch. His scam is driving out competition, and then when it's gone, lowering the quality and jacking up the prices. This was John D. Rockefeller's position. In fact, he literally said, quote, "Competition is a sin." Like the Roman despot, Rockefeller's claim was that his lust for monopoly was really a love of efficiency. Competition, he said, was just too wasteful of resources. Why have 100 different brands of toaster when you could have just one? To be fair, one of capitalism's hallmarks is the unswerving search for efficiency. There's a problem, though. Social scientist Talcott Parsons said in his 1937 book, The Theory of Social Action, that capitalism is corrosive to traditionalism. Why? Because traditionalism wants to conserve the old ways. Capitalism, by contrast, is always looking for new, more efficient ways to do things. If capitalism sees your country as inefficient, it will seek to neutralize it. A case in point, tariffs. International finance tells us that they're inefficient for trade. They want to, in their own unctuous verbiage, harmonize all laws around the world to make the global economy run more efficiently. This is their backhanded way of saying that your nation shouldn't get to make its own laws, and that we should have a one-world government. All in the name of efficiency, of course. In business terms, it would be a global political monopoly. This lust for efficiency, though, removes redundancies, which ironically makes a system more fragile. Then collapse happens. Like so-called just-in-time supply chain fads, where the supermarket has no food stocked up in the back, upon the premise that it's far more efficient to have trucks deliver it as needed. But what happens if there's a disruption in the supply chain? Answer, the store has no food. You just created a system where the tiniest disruption could have the biggest domino effect. You just streamlined your way into a fragile system. Just as in stores, so in government. See Nathan Carson talk about it here.
When you start losing money, you don't really want to fold and walk away. And so that's kind of where we're at with globalization. You have a world that is very, very complex. It's highly, highly concentrated to a few nodes, few players. It's highly interconnected, highly interdependent, and it's overly optimized for efficiency. What that means is that you have a few players, few countries, few companies that are dominating it, because a lot of global trade is actually B2B transactions, actually intra-business transactions to boot. It's highly interconnected and interdependent because you have the too big to fail idea with banks, but over the past 10 years, the too big to fail mantra is everywhere now. And they're overall optimized for efficiency, which means they care too much about profit. So you have a few bad years and suddenly they're in the red and the whole system begins to unravel. And that's what we're seeing today with the supply chain crisis. It's why things cost so much. That's why there's so many delays. That's why there's all these port backlogs, is because you have a highly complex system that is overly optimized for efficiency. There's no resiliency. So the moment you have an exogenous shock, whether that's a pandemic, whether that's a natural disaster like a freeze in Texas or a hurricane, like there's a war going on, things begin to unravel very, very quickly because there is no resiliency.
All systems go through a life cycle. You start with a sloppy system with lots of redundancies, and those redundancies offer checks and balances. Safety. Then charlatans and efficiency experts, otherwise known as tyrants, come to you with the promise to trim the fat. Whether layoffs or mass murder, they manage to lower the population of any given system, but this creates system fragility. All the redundancies that used to be there as backup mechanisms are gone. Think about nature. It builds in tons of redundancies. You have two lungs unless one gets damaged. You have two eyes for the same reason. You have so many backup systems to keep your body robust and healthy. Imagine if some quack came to you promising to make you more efficient by removing all the redundant organs, by chopping out a kidney, removing an ear, sawing off one of your legs. Do you think you'd be better after this restructuring, or worse? Sadly, the monopolist and the monocrat don't realize that if society follows their advice and streamlines everything, we're creating a fragile system that veritably ensures collapse. And after that collapse comes, the life cycle gets reset back down to zero, and we begin again. The bad news is that the American empire and the crony capitalist economic system may be about to suffer an irreversible systemic crash. The good news, however, is that the most corrosive thing to the American Republic was the American empire. By seeing it dissolve, there will be pain to be sure, but in the aftermath, we'll have the opportunity to rebuild what we had, recreate what we were supposed to be, recover our best traits and highest ideals that were lost in the mad shuffle for power and vainglory that overtook us after the Second World War. Instead of one empire with a one-size-fits-all top-down governance model, we'll have 50 states with 50 different standards. But then, wasn't that what we were supposed to have from the beginning? Inefficient and free. We live in a world filled with fear and intimidation so that the truth won't be spoken. Presented by The New American, The Ben Armstrong Show says the things that others are afraid to say. Find information and truth to arm you against the lies. Watch every weekday on thenewamerican.com.